Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm delighted to have with me today the father of two identical twin daughters and a Derby County fan. It's Patrick McLaughlin. Patrick, hello to you.
Lovely to speak to you, Rob.
Patrick, there'll be some people listening that may not have come across you, so just for their benefit, tell us a bit about what you do.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've spent the last 20 years, it's our 20th year anniversary this year, working with accountants, really focusing on helping them to grow by working with more of their perfect or ideal clients.
Mm. You've been doing that a long time. How did you get into it?
Well, I've worked in exhibitions. So I've worked for some big media owners, Reed, United Newspapers, EMAP. And then I started doing some independent work, working as a consultant. I just happened to take on an accountant. And the scope was just amazing. This was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So within about 6 months, I found myself purely, 100% of the time, working with accountants.
And accounting for growth, you've got a particular niche, not just with accountants, but in growth and business development and marketing, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, even from day one, it's very common now that we hear, you know, ideal clients. But back then, it was fairly rare. But we tend to work, we'll take on the odd solicitor. It's really purely professional services, but the vast, vast majority is accountants.
Yeah. How good are accountants at winning work and doing this ideal client stuff?
Do you know, I suppose it's like everything. Some are very good and some aren't so good. You're seeing, I think, a change in terms of the skill sets within accountancy practices, certainly in terms of who they're looking to recruit. I think you're seeing a shift away from a few years ago when everybody was focusing on business development skills. Now, certainly what we're helping them to do is more to understand the buyer's journey.
Let's start with some definitions then. In the Patrick McLaughlin Dictionary of Life and Business, can you make a distinction for us between, say, sales and business development and marketing?
I could. I think the best one comes from Steve Pipe.
Yes.
Who founded AVN and written some fantastic books. And I just think this sums it up perfectly practically for accountants. Marketing is everything you do to get the meeting, to get in front of your ideal client. And sales is what happens during and after that.
Okay, yeah, that is very good. So in terms of ideal client, it's different for different accountants. How do you start when you work with an accounting firm to articulate that?
You have to start by really having a good look in the mirror. You know, a lot of firms saying, Patrick, we want a niche with these people. We want 10 grand fees and get me in front of these people. Yeah. And when we actually look at what they have to offer, they're not ready for that yet.
Mm.
It's not just about attracting your ideal client. You have to be their ideal accountant.
Yeah, sure.
So we have to really look inward, see what strengths they have, see essentially what problems they solve, and then making sure that we can really find out where those people hang out, find out their size, their region, really get under the skin of the problems, and then we can start talking.
Sure. What, in your view, separates the good accounting firms from the great ones?
It comes down to the obviously the service they provide. You see it in testimonials. We hear it so often when we're on the phone talking to business owners that they would answer that. Some of them, we occasionally get these calls and we love them, where a business owner will say, I wouldn't work with you. I wouldn't move from my accountant if you were free.
Hmm.
My accountant is so integral. He's so key to the business that I pay him twice the money.
Yeah.
And it's that point where they really are, they understand the client. Their lifetime value is so much higher. They're so secure with the client because they're so key in terms of they understand where they're trying to take the business.
Yeah.
Most accountants don't. And they actually are getting them there.
How much change have you seen over the years in the way accountants win work?
That has changed enormously. Certainly when we started in the late 90s, we used to, you'd say, fixed fees. You know, we won't charge you for a telephone call.
Yeah.
And we'll guarantee the timescales. And if you had those three, you were pretty exceptional.
Mm.
Now that really is the price of entry, the minimum standard.
Yeah. I'm fond of saying that being good used to be a differentiator. Now everyone's good. So being good is merely a qualifier. It just gets you in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are there any aspects of the accounting sector that hasn't evolved as quickly as it should have over the years?
There are still, and it's not just small, you know, one-man bands, but, you know, I know of 10 partner firms that are still winning work on price, that they're still 100% compliancy, that still have no understanding of where their clients are trying to take their businesses. And there's this very interesting inner turmoil. I had an email from a firm a couple of weeks ago, and he said the partners here are so used to competing on price, they've got no interest in advisory services because they've all done so well out of it.
Right.
And as much as we hear how cloud accounting is commoditizing compliance, there are still parts of the country where people are doing pretty well. And the incentive, the pain isn't there yet for them to change.
That complacency can be dangerous, can't it? What's coming up for those firms?
Well, the problem is, or the great thing is, you've got your annual fees. So every year this money is coming in. So the change takes so much longer to actually reach them. But I don't think there's much doubt that you know, we are on the edge of quite a major change.
Yeah.
There was an article by the head of Thomson Reuters professional services arm just before Christmas, where he predicted, I think it was 30 to 35% of accountancy practices going out of business in the next few years.
Goodness me.
So it is a question of now. You can wait till it's too late, because those compliance fees are going to start coming down. And once they go down, you're not going to get them up again. Or you can actually get in there with that advisory help and start giving that value now.
Yeah. What are the biggest challenges that the large firms face right now? Because they've got a different dynamic to the smaller ones. And I'm talking top 100 firms, perhaps.
Well, I think to get into the top 100, you really don't have to be that big. It's quite surprising. There's like, you know, those that are on the edge of there. And you still see some very traditional firms there. I would say that they don't take business development terribly seriously. So I think that, again, because of we've got the repeat fees coming in every year, everything is very comfortable. I think that there's still a tendency for marketing to be totally disconnected from actually putting money in the bank. And this, the top 100, even the top 50 aren't immune to that.
Well, I suppose once you become a bigger firm, you start to develop your own business development function. You have a marketing department. How well do you see that working in larger firms?
The core of this is usually marketing communications. So, you know, I interviewed a marketing manager for a client a few years ago, and I always remember it. I asked her what work she was most proud of. And this was a firm, they might be in the top 100. They're certainly quite a large North London firm. And the work she was most proud of, she went into a briefcase and pulled out a form that she had designed. And when I was trying to pull this interview across to, you know, show me the money you're generating, show me the work you're doing, there was this great disconnection between her work, communicating, and actually attracting new business. And it's not all the marketing people's fault. It's not their fault really at all, because it's the brief they take.
Well, whose job is it to win work in an accounting firm?
I think with everything, it always comes down from on top. When I talk to even large firms, I say, you know, what's the growth plan? Do you have a target? It's very rare that I'll talk to partners of even top 50 firms that have very clear growth plans.
How do accountants set growth rate? They don't just pluck a percentage out of thin air and say, we'll go for double-digit growth, 10% is great. They must have some mechanisms for doing that.
Well, I suppose all firms are different. They all have different ideas of growth. But I'd say in the 20 years we've been working, there's only a couple, certainly on the fingers of one hand, firms that have had real clear definitions of where they want to be.
How easily can they control that? Because presumably the market's up and down and we're in tough times supposedly still. So it's okay saying we want 8% growth or we want to turn over this much money, but there are a lot of factors outside their control, surely.
Well, there are, but if they looked at their marketing as their growth, as their clients do, or actually, you know, really honed in and saw what their clients are doing, I think they'd be a bit embarrassed. We really focus on return on investment.
Yeah.
So what that means is X thousand pounds should get you a return of X thousand pounds in first year fees. We'll build that onto the lifetime value. So we'll give them both figures there. And that's based on essentially, it comes down to this definition of sales and marketing, is we need you in front of your ideal clients. We know that what average fee we can predict before the campaign starts. So if we are, let's say, predicting a £10,000 average fee, we know that maybe one new client for every 3.5 or 4 meetings that you attend, we know what has to go into the machine to get a certain amount of revenue out. Mm-hmm. So it is predictable. It doesn't mean that you have to stick to one route, one pillar to build your new business on.
No.
But this is the measure. Whatever else we do has to beat this. Otherwise, we keep doing this.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And what would represent a good ROI for marketing or BD activity? A 5-to-1 or a 10-to-1?
Well, we try and encourage clients to focus on the lifetime value.
Okay.
Because that's where the real value is.
Right.
Now, the reality is that if you're looking for the best return in year one, then you'd go out there and buy the fees by competing on a low price, because it's a lot easier to get in front of clients if that's your offer.
Yeah.
But your margin is so much lower. And of course, they're not going to be with you very long, just until someone cheaper turns up.
But does lifetime value as a metric only work for compliance stuff? Because advisory stuff is one-off, isn't it?
It is one-off, but a lot of it is it's about understanding the figures. The best advice comes from that real insight that providing good, up-to-date, accurate information and the analysis of that.
Right.
So whilst there may be some additional work that comes through, businesses evolve. Your skill sets evolve. You should still be putting through, you know, decent advisory fees. They shouldn't be that unpredictable.
How good are firms at differentiating themselves? Because the consensus largely is that one accountant is as good as the next.
Well, we hear from so many accountants and they say, Patrick, all the client wants is the cheapest price. And then you look at their website, you look at how they present themselves, you ask them what's special about the firm, and what they're actually promoting is accountancy. So what they're saying is everything that you see on every other website for accountants. Mm. So they've in not differentiating themselves, they're actively generalizing themselves.
Yeah.
And they're leaving it to the client. And the only differentiator left is price.
So how should they be doing it then?
You need to have a really good look in the mirror. You have to look at those top clients, the ones that are paying you the best fees, the ones that are the most fun to work with, the ones, the work you're really proud of. You know, the stuff that you're excited about, and the clients have really been so happy working with you, and get to the heart of that and do more of it. But this is why it's so important to understand your strengths and to constantly develop and for them to evolve. But otherwise, what you'll see is the websites will all say the same things. And typically when I say what's different about your firm, they'll say, we're really friendly and easy to work with. Great. Again, price of entry, minimum standard. They'll also say, we are we're big enough to cope and small enough to care.
Right.
We're proactive. All of these, again, the absolute minimum that the client is expects.
Well, give me an example of a firm that doesn't say those things and gets it right.
We work with a particular client we've been working with for a few years. I always wheel out one of their emails to us. It's just an update on the campaign, and he lists 4 clients that are either have come through or are coming through, a total of £65,000 from these 4 clients, and that they came through in 3 months. Now, they are so different, and this is how we present them, is that what he actually says at the beginning of his appointment, and I'm not recommending this one, but what he says is, before we start, I just want to let you know that it's very unlikely that the price of the proposal that I'm going to put to you is going to be less than twice what you currently pay. If that's a non-starter to you, you know, I don't want to waste your time.
Yeah, that's good.
But what he does, when I first met with him and I said, who's your ideal client? He told me what cars they drive. He told me their children are privately educated. He told me they have holiday homes. He had a really good feel and understanding of where he brought value.
Okay. What's the worst advice or doctrine that you see being dispensed in the accounting profession?
I think that the worst one is this focus on sales skills, this focus on fitting round pegs into square holes. Really, on, you know, your business development skills are essential to your growth. Where if you're meeting the right people and you can bring value to them, and you're bringing value in advance, and you've got proof through strong testimonials, case studies, you don't need any of that.
I run in-house business development academies for large accounting firms, and I would argue that they do need strong business development skills, because no matter how good your testimonials are, you've still got to reach out and start conversations with those people and get them over the line.
You need to know what you're doing. You need to come across as in control. You know, we've done win-loss research where the accountant has, we've said, well, you know, why do you choose to work with this accountant? And they said, well, he just kind of mumbled. He had a rough pad of paper and a biro with the casino on. He didn't come across in the right way. Now, of course, that's at one end of the spectrum there. Mm. There is a spectrum. But in terms of, I don't think that teaching closing techniques, it would be at the other end of the spectrum there.
Yeah, I get that.
Of course, we want to be competent and efficient, but we don't want to turn them into slick salespeople.
Yeah, I get that. And they wouldn't want to be turned thus, would they?
Not at all.
So what should be the hiring policy for progressive firms that want to grow and stand out?
Very interesting. I'm actually writing an article at the moment for the AAT's magazine on precisely that. And on how the criteria for the type of accountants that people are looking to recruit, the skills have changed. We've gone away from the kind of shy, hiding in the corner, safe pair of hands. And what we're looking for now, so many of the more fast growth firms, of the more progressive firms, are looking for people who are comfortable sitting down with the client, who have good social skills, and who enjoy that side of work.
Yeah, that makes good sense. That's what I'm seeing too. So, crystal ball, what do you think is coming up for particularly the large progressive firms over the next few years?
What you're going to see is a lot more knowledge and a real expansion of where they can bring value. So you're going to see a lot more focus. I think that's not just, we all think of that focus being in niches in particular sectors, but I think the real value comes from when you can focus within particular sectors, but you have specific outcomes that you're bringing to them. Mm. So that having been the real bullseye, the real center of the target there.
Presumably though, there's some inertia in businesses with accountants because they don't change very easily. What, in your view, are the kinds of things that would make a business owner move from one accountant to another?
I think a lot of the respect and deference is disappearing. It's kind of changing from the accountant to the software. They say, oh, isn't this software brilliant, as opposed to the accountant. It's when they actually say, my accountant understands where I'm trying to take the business and can actually bring some value to it.
So conversely then, it's when they say, my accountant doesn't understand me, that they go looking elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it's changing. It's moving. I think the default is my accountant doesn't understand me. You know, the default is I deal with different people all the time. If you asked my accountant where I'm trying to take the business, they'd kind of mumble platitudes. They wouldn't really. So it's, you know, the expectation is growing there.
I think it's a good distinction that you make. My accountant doesn't know me. What else do accountants get wrong?
You know, what we're seeing an awful lot of is the majority of firms pushing out the same kind of messages. I was talking to someone who's been on a content club for accountants, how to write content. And she's been on this for about 14 months. And I was saying, what work have you done in terms of your perfect client? And she hadn't done any.
Wow.
And so it kind of poses the question, how can you write content if you don't know who you're writing it to?
Yeah. It's similar with the elevator pitch that I teach in my networking sessions. You know that answer to the question, what do you do? It's hard to give a generic answer. It's best to ask your subject, if you like, two or three questions so you can get a feel for who they are. Then when they ask you what you do, you can give a more personalized answer.
Brilliant. Yeah, exactly. That's always it, isn't it?
So just tell us briefly about your business, Patrick. What does the first and last 60 minutes of your typical day look like?
So my day starts by just having a chat with the sales team, looking at where we are. I spend a lot of the time increasing workload, I'm sure like yourself, on content. trying to get that message out and kind of build those relationships.
You do write in a few different places, don't you?
I do.
And you write for the AAT, the Accounting Technician magazine, and where else does your stuff appear?
I also write for the Accounting Practice magazine. I've got a group on LinkedIn, Marketing Professional Services. So we've got about 12,000 members there. Try and keep a really tight focus. Mm. So it tends to focus on, you know, perfect client attraction, return on investment. I think it helps to get yourself tied to one particular outcome or benefit.
Is there anything you've changed your mind on in the last few years?
I think in terms of, you know, we were doing kind of selling type, and this is different to business development, but, you know, virtually teaching the whole very structured sales approaches, very structured agenda documents, where now the whole key to it is, you know, where do you try to take the business? What's causing you resistance? And get that conversation flowing. So I've certainly probably moved to be less structured and really trying to help clients the confidence to take those conversations forward.
What frustrates you most about the accounting profession?
For me, it's how marketing is an expense and how marketing is about putting out, growing your Twitter following or LinkedIn connections, or even now you might see it going as far as lead generation. But it's so rare for a firm to they'll get to a certain size, they'll take on a marketing manager, and they become an expense. They never sit down with them and say, right, this is what we're paying you. I need a return on this. How are we going to get there? Mm-hmm. So it's the same things I always rant about. Return on investment or lack of it.
Yeah, very good. And finally, Patrick, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
Make sure that the work you're doing is work you love. And if you're not doing work you love, stop doing it or change that work. Evolve in the right direction. Because there are too many accountants out there, especially, who are stuck in the compliance box, where the work has become real drudgery. They're competing on price. Mm. And I love it when we can get to hold their hand, often by referring them to consultants or AVN, and help them on this journey to really loving and enjoying their work and changing lives. It works so well for everybody. You have so much more fun when you're helping businesses change and succeed. The emotions and the outcomes that you can bring to these people, you earn better money. It's such a win-win, but there's this gulf from a compliance firm to get there. And that's where, you know, that if they can start looking around, start taking some advice, you know, it can be done. It can be done relatively quickly.
Yeah. This has been great, Patrick. If people want to find out more about you, how might they get in touch?
Well, the website is www.a4g. Connect with me on LinkedIn, but be careful you don't connect with the Conservative MP, who always beats me there on Google. Also, join our group on LinkedIn. We put together fairly regular emails, the Practice Growth blog. So, and we've also got a report called the 15% Solution, which is all about working with that 15% of the population who are driven to the high-end option, those people that really appreciate value, which essentially is the majority of the time is the perfect client.
Well, Patrick McLaughlin, that's been superb today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Rob. Really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.